Thank you, Ricky. Glad you got my name right this time. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's good to be here with you tonight. Yes, indeed, I did have that conversation with our brother after his sermon as I was sitting in the audience. I hope most of you were too. I was listening to the things he was saying and thinking about what I had prepared yesterday. Through the week, I had three different sermons on my mind, and I, quite frankly, never wait till the last day to get my sermon ready, because I like to have it kind of mulling around and make a few changes here and there, and but I waited till the last day because I just couldn't determine which would be the one I should preach. Well, you know, yesterday I finally had to just sit down and choose one and do something, you know, because time was running out. And I felt compelled to choose one. And I did. And I prepared it. And I named it. Got a title here on my paper. And then I listened today, I hope you listened today, and I thought about what our brother said. You know, I know that I've heard it said that once in a while somebody will come up and they will try to use the evening service to debate the morning service. And I hope you do not think that's what I'm trying to do, because I'm not. Because I think that my sermon dovetails with the morning sermon. I agree entirely with it. In fact, if you know about God's word and prophecy, you probably have heard about chiasms. A chiasm is in the Bible, it's in the Book of Mormon. And a message is given, usually by prophecy. A message is given, it's laid out, it goes from point A to point Z, then it goes from point Z back to point A. It's a chiasm. The last comment that our brother made in the sermon today is where I'm starting. Where I hope to lead is where he began. A chiasm. I hope that means that both of us were inspired by God. So the title yesterday that I put on my sermon is, and I'll quote it, "Have Miracles Ceased? Or Is It a Matter of Faith?" Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it, Steve? It's what he talked about. Now, you might all be happy to know that when I'm looking at my paper, well, I do a lot of cut and pasting. I see that I pasted some stuff several times. So the sermon is likely to be short. Nobody's ever complained about a short sermon. I've had a few complaints about long sermons, but nobody's ever complained to me about a short sermon. So we'll just have to see how it boils out. But what do you consider a miracle? Do you consider healings miracles? Do you consider prophecy, God speaking to his people, miracles, revelation of things to come in the future, miracles, calling of men to serve in God's holy priesthood, miracles? You know, I often do. I always do. I consider the working of God in our life a miracle. The working of God in anybody's life to bring them into the way of eternal salvation, a miracle. But I've had often opportunity to travel, to meet with people, to talk to people throughout the world, actually. But I often hear and get the question of, why don't we have more miracles today? Hey, Brother Mike's kind of chuckling. I think he must have heard this question himself. Why don't we have the gifts of the Spirit we have today? It's one of the last things our brother said. Why don't we have these things? sometimes they phrase it like it's coming across like it's all my fault. It's all me. Brian, why isn't this happening? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't this making accomplishing this? So tonight we're going to look at the scriptures which speak about miracles. God working with his people, with me, with you. What brings these things about? And what hinders them? We're going to start in, one thing I was very happy about, that even though, you know, everything I just said, Steve could have said this morning, he didn't use one single scripture that I'm going to use. Not a single one. He used a lot of good scriptures. But I have more. Because I think God wants us to hear this. I'm going to begin in Moroni chapter 7, verse 26. I'm just going to read right now. We'll come back to this, but I'm going to read 26 and 27. And as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased? Because that Christ has ascended into heaven and has sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his right of mercy, which he has upon the children of men? The question was, has miracle ceased? Are they done? Are they finished because Christ has returned? You know, receiving good things, it says, do you have faith? Do you believe you will receive? Do you ask the Father for things which are good? You know, I could think about, as a child, some of the very childish things I asked God for. And I'm probably not alone, you know. I wanted to be rich. I'm not rich. I wanted to be like a movie star. I'm not a movie star. I wanted to be handsome. Well, yeah, you know the answer to that one, don't you? You know, I just didn't get any of those childish things. I got a phone call. I don't know why that's ringing. Probably somebody telling me I'm done. But what you ask the Lord, which is good, which is according to his plan, according to his purpose, and you ask, and do you believe? Do you believe? Do you have faith in these things? It requires strong faith. It requires belief. It requires trust. It requires a willingness to accept the things that God has for us. And sometimes that is hard for us. Sometimes we don't want to do that. We're told in scriptures that the Book of Mormon is a test of faith. It's come. It's here. It sets us apart. It makes us a peculiar people, unlike the majority of believers. But they don't pass that test of faith. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to look at it and see that it is God's word. But it's become a test of faith. It's become a test of faith for us, to always be willing to hold it up, to always be willing to accept the truth of it. I'm going to read in 3 Nephi chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. And now there cannot be written in this book either even a hundredth part of the things which Jesus did truly teach unto the people. But behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the more part of the things which he taught the people. And these things have I written, which are the lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them to the intent that they may be brought again unto this people. For the Gentiles, according to the words which Jesus has spoken. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient, that they should have first to try their faith, and if it shall be so, that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. And if it so be that they are not believing these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them unto their condemnation. Behold, I was about to write them all which were engraven on plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbade it, saying, I will try the faith of my people. Therefore I, Moroni, do write the things which have been commanded me of the Lord. You know, a test of faith, a book that came forth by a miracle. Not so long ago, really, if you think about it. Less than 200 years in the history of the world. A miracle. A book that's been presented to you. A test of your faith. To read it. To ask God, is this true? You know, he doesn't just say read it and accept it. The last things in the book. It says read it and then ask the Lord. Did you do it? Did he answer you? Is that not a miracle? The Lord spoke to your heart and your mind and says, accept these things. They are my words. It is what I want you to believe. It's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the way of eternal salvation. A trial of your faith. You know, our brother this morning talked about we have to exercise our faith. We have to utilize our faith. We have to increase our faith. Faith is important. It's very important to the very things that we believe, that we say that we believe. Ephesians 6:16, it says, above all things, take the shield of faith. Take this shield of faith. It is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is so important for us to be God's people, for us to have his working among us, for us to withstand the trials that will come against us, the things where Satan tries to move us away. I think we can all, you know, the people that ask me, you know, where are all God's workings today? They see Satan's working. They see the temptations. They see the struggles. They see the fears and the problems that they have that are trying to move them away from the Lord. But where's our faith? Is it strong? Is it able to quench them? Say, I know the Lord God is with me. He sees my plight. He sees my struggles. He knows where I'm at. And he's ever present to care for my needs, to hold me up, to strengthen me. Faith. Faith is what is going to bring God's miracles, God's blessings, God's healings, God's voice to us. I'd like to use an example. Our brother, he talked about Christ going around performing miracles. I'm going to read one of them that he didn't read, very similar to one that he read, but in Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read verse 28 and 29. And when he came into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? You didn't read that one, did you? He goes into the house and it's full of blind guys. We don't know how many. But they want to be healed. Jesus, we want to see. So his question, do you believe? Do you have the faith that I'm able to accomplish this? What did Steve tell us? He gave authority. Christ had authority. Today we have authority. His ministry had been given the authority. But it's not just the ministry. It's the faith of the people. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Yeah. We absolutely believe, we trust, we know you can make us see again. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith. You know, if they were just lying about this, yeah, we believe that, but we really don't. You know, he can't do this. According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. He wasn't ready for the word to get out yet. But he said, according to your faith, did you really believe? Do you really exercise? Are you really ready for this? Do you believe that I am the Son of God and can come into this world and accomplish everything that the Lord has sent me to do? And they said, yes. And they saw. It was accomplished. I'm going to read Moroni 7, verse 25. And after he came, men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith, they become the sons of God. Is this not us? By faith, hey, you talk about a miracle. You know, I'm Don McIndoe's son. I'm Betty McIndoe's son. Okay, well, we know how that happened. It's natural. We're all somebody's son. But we become the son of God. That's a miracle. That's not worldly. That's not fleshly. That's spiritual. We're raised up to an inheritance of the Heavenly Father, eternal life in the kingdom of God, in the portals of heaven, to ever dwell with the Creator. Is that not miraculous? You're a son of God. Is this not what you believed? When you believed in Christ, when you became a new creature through baptism, that you were joining yourself to the body of Christ to be one of his children, that he purged you of all your sins, and you were lifted up as a new creature? Is that not a miracle? Every time you see somebody saved through the waters of baptism, to join themselves as a son of God. Let's continue in Moroni chapter 7, verse 26. And surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whosoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, and faith believing, that ye shall receive, behold, it is done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased, that Christ has ascended into heaven, and has sat down at the right hand of God to claim his right of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. Is this not a prominent idea in the world today? Christ has done his work. He's through. We can't expect, we don't have any more miracles. There's nothing more we need. You know, this idea stems from the hands of men. Such ideas lead to priestcrafts. God's done. Christ is done. He's left it all to us. And now, as long as I get a big enough paycheck, as long as you lift me up high enough upon the throne of your joy and worship of me, I'll make all these decisions. I'll change the laws of God. I will do whatever it is that makes you happy. Set myself up for gain. Oh, that is the idea of most of the churches of the world today. But in 3 Nephi 13, verse 59 through 60, it says, "Yea, woe unto him which shall deny the revelation of the Lord, and shall say, the Lord no longer worketh by revelation, or by prophecy, or by gifts, or by tongues, or by healings, or by the power of the Holy Ghost." The Lord works by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord sends us out. He reveals to us over and over again the things that we need to do and we should not do by the power of the Holy Ghost. He reveals to us the things that we need to know. "Yea, and woe unto him that shall say at that day, there can be no miracle wrought by Jesus Christ." And the reason? The words say, "for to get gain." This is the idea of the world. We don't want to accept Jesus Christ still working amongst men today because we want to take the credit. I'm not saying we as us, but as people of this world. It's not the way of the Lord. Christ is not finished with his people. We are the sons of God. And he wants to be with us. He wants to work with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to be strong in our faith, believing these things will take place. "For he that doeth this shall become like unto the son of perdition, for whom there is no mercy according to the words of Christ." Those that say God is through working to get gain are like the son of perdition. And there is no mercy for them. This is not the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord is for us to strengthen our faith, to grow in our faith, to plant that seed and let it grow in us. When we were baptized and we believed, should not have been the climax. It was the beginning. And every day when we wake up and we see the sun come up and we see God working, we should become stronger and more ready. Now I'm going to continue. I kind of bounce around. I kind of split these scriptures up. We're back in Moroni chapter 7, verse 28. I'm going to start in verse 28. It says, "For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the words of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. Angels have not ceased to minister among us. And they're going to show themselves. They're going to work with those with a strong faith and a firm mind. But then in verse 32, it goes on. It says, and the office of their ministering is still speaking about the angels. What is the duty of these angels as they work amongst you, as they work amongst the people of this world that have a strong faith? It says, and the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance. That is the, you know, when angels work amongst you, if you're feeling the need to repent, if you're seeing your downfalls, if you're finding your struggles are making you walk farther away from the Lord, and you recognize that, it's the angels working with you to call you back. If you've come to the body of Christ, if you've come out of this world and joined yourself, it's the angels calling you to come, repent, and become a new creature. Is that not a miracle? You know, Long ago, I heard a statistic. I don't remember what I was listening to, some talk show radio or something, but some expert was on there. I don't put a lot of credit experts, but I found it interesting, and I never forgot this. And he said that at about the age 30, we've pretty much set our personalities, our goals, our life, our traits, our standards in stone. You're just not going to move much from that. You're just kind of there, you know. You grew up, your parents taught you, you got out of the house, you started making some of your own decisions, and then boom, you're set in stone. You're just not going to change much after that. But how many people do you know in our congregation, in other congregations, that age 35, 40, 50, they found the Lord. They found the truth. They repented. What's repent mean? Change. Turn yourself around. And they came and they joined themselves to the body of Christ, and they became the sons of God instead of one of the children of the devil. A miracle. A miracle. Because it just doesn't happen statistically very easily. Let's continue. And to fulfill and do the work of the covenants of the Father which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. This is the duty of angels. You know, if an angel stood in your room in the middle of the night, you say, that's a miracle. But if you've been called to repent, it's a miracle. Part of the promises for men of God to be called to nurture the body. You know, we don't go to seminary. We don't appoint ourselves. We're called to the Lord for a purpose. You know something? I like to read this because it's so fascinating to me because of what it says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he, being God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for a specific reason. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, to edify the body, till we come to a unity of, again, faith. A unity of faith to build you up, to strengthen you, to be single of where our faith should be. Unified in our faith in God and Jesus Christ and his purpose. Not in ourselves, not in our own strength, not in the man standing behind this pulpit, but in Jesus Christ. Come to a unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a recorded prophecy in the old land. You know, we can read in Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah. We can read in the New Land, in the Book of Mormon. In fact, I'm going to look at it. Mosiah 1, verses 93-99, says, "For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. The things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. And he said unto me, Awake, and I awoke, and behold, he stood before me. And he said unto me, Awake, and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto you these glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and he has sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and it's not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth among men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and the curing of all manner of disease. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men." That was foretold. Sounded miraculous. Wouldn't it be something to be sitting there listening to that? Hey, this is what's coming. This is great. We look forward to it. We long for it. We want to hear it. It brings us great joy. That's what it says. I'm going to bring great joy. But now, some 2,000 years later, do we have that kind of faith? Do we desire God to reveal the prophecies of Jesus Christ and his working amongst us? Do we want to hear about his second coming? Do we believe in his second coming? Does it bring us joy, or does it bring us sorrow? Does it make us look forward, or does it make us fear? Do we believe or do we doubt? Do we want it? Do we want the Lord to reveal the things of the day in which we live? Or do we want to dismiss it? If we do dismiss it, if we don't want to hear, if we don't want to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And as it said there, it may not be too far distant of time. I don't know when that will be. Jesus doesn't even know when that'll be. It's when his Father says, it is time. But he does tell us to watch the seasons. Watch the things that are happening in the world. Watch the ideas of men in the day in which you live and where they're going. You can see the season in which you live. Are we excited to see our Savior descending from heaven to gather his people, the believers, those that are faithful? Do we find great joy in it? You know, speaking of miracles in our history, not long ago, an angel appeared to a young man, delivered to him a book, and it was written in another language. He couldn't read it. So he delivered him what? A fancy pair of glasses called the Urim and Thummim. He looked through and he could read this thing. Quite a miracle. Quite a miracle. And the restoration of Christ's church was upon the earth once again. Quite a miracle. Do we have the faith that God will perform such miracles of prophecy of Christ's coming? Or are we one of those who just say, oh, yeah, it's all done now? Christ and the Lord and the angels will and can minister amongst us according to our faith. Do you believe that they can do these things? And they will, according to your faith. I'm going to read Moroni 7, verse 35 through 44. And Christ has said, if ye shall have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he has said, repent ye, all the ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, and ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased, or angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as the time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto ye, nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought. It is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased. I like this. Where's he going with this? Next person, I'm going to remember this. The next person says, the miracles have ceased. Okay, what's it say? If these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men. For it is because of unbelief. If we believe it's going to happen, if they cease, it's because of our unbelief. And all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though they have been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brother, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. I'm looking at the people of his church. I trust that you have this faith, that you do not believe that miracles have ceased, that God continues to work amongst us. This is his promise. His promise is to give to us a way of eternal life. There is no larger miracle than being raised from the dead and living for all eternity with our Heavenly Father. And this we can have. So what we have seen in the scriptures tonight and this morning, that according to God's word, the how and the who miracles will be performed, and it's according to those strong and steadfast and firm in their faith. This cannot be a day of doubt. This cannot be a day of confusion. Doubt, confusion, deception are tools of Satan, and they should not be found amongst us. We should be strong and firm and steadfast, enduring strong faith. And it will bring about knowledge. It'll bring about the working of angels. It'll bring about prophecy. It'll bring about miracles. It'll bring about God's purpose. It'll bring about where we are today in this world, as long as we want it. So where are miracles today? They are right there at our disposal. If you're not seeing them, increase your faith. Increase your understanding, increase your study, because God has them. They are not lacking. They are there for those of us who believe. Thank you for your time.